The widely held belief about habits is that we should aim to break them. Even Harvard would have you focusing on breaking bad habits. It's odd, given that brain gurus have known for decades that what we focus on becomes what we do, what we attract and what we believe. Welcome to Connected Communication, a podcast exploring the intriguing interplay between language, culture and the brain through the lens of self-awareness. I'm your host, Christine. See a penny, pick it up. All day long, you'll have good luck. My right hand keeps getting itchy lately. Every time it happens, I pause for a moment and loudly pronounce to the universe that the money on its way to me is welcome, and I'm ready for the responsibility and effort that will come with it. Most people would tell you the right hand is for money going out, while the left is for money coming in. I've looked it up. Many a culture believes it's the right hand that brings in the money. I'm siding with them. I choose to focus my thinking on the right. I still won't leave a penny. Well, now a cent, lying on the ground. The fear of walking over a penny, meaning I'll end up without one, is so deeply ingrained in me. I can't pass one by. Even if it looks like it's been trampled upon by muddy boots covered in ash after a forest fire. What does ingrained mean? I was asked by a learner recently. We just watched a video about the leprechaun hunt in Carlingford, a village a bit out the road from my hometown in Ireland, and we were discussing superstitions about luck. Years ago, I did lessons on superstitions with business English students studying in Ireland. It always fascinated me how similar our superstitions were. Break a mirror, 7 years bad luck. Carry a rabbit's foot, find a clover, hang a horseshoe, good luck. Step on shit in Spain, bad luck. Get shat on by a bird in Ireland, good luck. How do these automatic beliefs, which trigger automatic thoughts and stimulate automatic behaviours, become so ingrained? What does ingrained mean, Christine? Entrenched, instinctive, unshakable, ineradicable, driven in, enduring, stubborn, unfading, fixed, implanted, deep-rooted. It's usually collocated with belief, attitude or habit. Something which is so firmly fixed or established, Google's Oxford Dictionary tells us, it's difficult to change. His deeply ingrained Catholic convictions left him incapable of seeing any other side of the argument. Last week I talked about sourcing our confidence from within and taking a chance on ourselves, allowing ourselves to realise our dreams. I was overwhelmed by some of the messages I received from people who were inspired by my story. After Tuesday's 1 year anniversary celebration and a day pretty much all over social media promoting it, I had to remind myself that I needed to get another episode out for next week, or this week as you listen. What'll I write about? I have to make it as good as last week, if not better. What if I'm not inspired? What if people don't like it? What if... I live alone, and it's a good thing. If I didn't, I'd frighten the bejesus out of anyone who lived with me. Sometimes, I think I might frighten my neighbours and have them wondering if I'm all right. In the middle of the day, I'll suddenly blast out, "Shut up, brain! Would you shut up?" There is another word in there, but I've made a commitment to curse less on my podcast. I think Apple hides the episodes I curse in, and not all cultures understand the beauty of a curse quite like the Irish. And I really want my words to be heard across cultures. So your ears will hear clean-lipped Christine, for now. I can be hard on myself. It's ingrained in me to achieve, or at least to be seen to be achieving. The thing is, the one who's looking at me most is me. If I don't see myself achieving in the way my brain's been trained to think it should be, should. You should have bought a house by now. You should be married. You should have children. You should have a car. You should be doing X, Y, Z, LMNOPQRS. Turn off the tirade and stick on a different tune. You wouldn't listen to a song you hated on repeat and start dancing, would you? I didn't think so. So why then do we allow the same negative tracks to play on repeat in our brains? What will I write about this week? I wondered. Shh, said the universe. Listen, and I'll tell you. Christine, how vulnerable should I be? I'm going to meet my peers in the US. I want them to feel comfortable with me, to know I rely on them, but I don't want them to think I'm weak. My brain keeps getting at me, telling me I'm not doing enough. I should be doing the same things other people are doing. I'm sorry if I shared too much. How much can I share without being perceived as weak? I'm not going to share my idea just yet. I don't want the negative commentary clouding my thinking. You sound like the chef of the Muppets when you speak. Client after client, message after message. And then I saw an Instagram post. Can you like yourself just because you like yourself? Without attaching yourself to anything. Just like yourself. Okay, universe, I'm listening. What will I write about? How to unfuck your thinking. Oh, feck, I forgot. Ah, cursing is just so ingrained in me. Lodged like a chia seed stuck in between a tiny crack in your top front teeth that doesn't seem to want to come out. But you wouldn't leave it there, would you? I didn't think so. Just like I can focus on keeping my speech clean, you too can focus on changing the direction of the needle playing the record in your head. You can rewrite the lyrics and play a different tune. It's all about where you choose to place your focus, how committed you are to yourself, to making the change, and how consistent you are in acting upon the new behaviours and patterns of thinking you wish to ingrain. I'm suffering from PTSD. I'm overweight and I can't change that. I'm too old, too tired, too traumatised to change. My brain keeps taking over. I am my brain. Yes. Your brain. Not the brain. Not our brain. Not anybody else's brain. Yours. Your unique, beautiful brain. Filled with pictures and patterns that you've patched together in your lifetime. You create what you choose to focus on. Or what you decide to ignore. When I was 18, I was a slim size 10. By 23, I was getting close to a size 18. That means I put on about 30 kilos, about 5 stone. You definitely wouldn't have thrown me far if you were thinking about trusting me. You can listen back to last week's episode of that comment as you're wondering what I'm talking about. I had no awareness of how big I was getting. I truly neither saw it nor cared. I remember a girl at college commenting to me one day about the number of calories in a bag of hunky-dories. Hunky-dories are a crisp or a potato chip in Ireland. And looking at her and saying, do you think I give a fuck? Oh, I nearly slipped there. Do you think I care about calories? She wasn't a slim pick herself. A thought that flashed across my mind as she commented about my potential weight gain. The comment stuck though. It triggered an emotional response in me strong enough for it to stick. I absorbed her uninvited opinion. It took me many, many years to learn that the uninvited opinion she shared was more related to a problem she saw in herself than it was in me. It wasn't until I saw a photo of myself at my sister's 21st birthday, when I was 23, that I realised how much I'd changed. By 27, I'd flipped the coin completely. Living in the Australian outback, I had lots of time to myself. Back then, there were no apps or Wi-Fi. I had Jeanette Jenkins' Ab Blast on DVD, which I still use. Spark Fitness on a clunky early 2000s computer to track meals and recipes. A treadmill. A cabin on an outback cattle station. A postman who delivered the shopping once a week. A very limited choice of food supplies. And a lot of determination. I set rules for myself. I wasn't allowed to eat until I'd done the DVD and at least 5 minutes on the treadmill. The time increased as I got fitter. I remember first doing the DVD. She has these sit-ups on it where you're lying down on your back and you sit right up to touch your toes. I couldn't even lift the tops of my shoulders off the ground. I was looking at her like she was an alien, wondering how in the hell she could lift her body up like that. Mine didn't seem to move an inch. But it did over time. It moved, it lifted, and it crunched. I focused on what I wanted. Now the hips are a bit stuck again, as I mentioned last week. But sure, we'll see what I can do in the next few months to fix that. I know what I want to be able to do. 10 years ago, I was in Nerka for the first time. It's not far from where I live now. I was fit and flexible, and mad as a brush at the same time. On the way home from a night out, one of my sisters and I took some yoga photos on a bench in the balcon de Europa. My goal is to recreate my shot 10 years later. I'll keep you posted. I can't do the move again yet, but I'll stay focused on what I want to achieve, not on the fact that I can't do it. March 20th, my mindset calendar. When you focus on your weaknesses, you're only looking for problems. If you focus on your strengths instead, you may discover new solutions. When you see a ladder, what do you do? When you spill salt, what do you do? When you make a mistake, what do you do? Automatically act. Walk around it. Throw it over your shoulder. Tell yourself off. Throughout our lives, we hear the voices of parents, siblings, teachers, church leaders, friends, and countless others tell us how to think, what to feel, and how to behave. We absorb their uninvited opinions. They become a track that gets played over and over, which we never seem to realize we can stop. Superstition means a belief or practice resulting from ignorance, fear of the unknown, or a false conception of causation. I didn't realize I was putting on so much weight. I believed everything was just fine. Ignorance. I stayed in a toxic job because I worried I wouldn't get another one with the same salary. Fear of the unknown. I stayed in an abusive relationship because I doubted my instincts. False conception of causation. I became self-superstitious until I became aware. Until I stepped out of fear. Until I learned that I could change the record. Actually, when I first started learning the neuroscience behind brain changes, it was with a lady called Donna Kennedy in Ireland, who I'll always credit with starting me off on the road to brain awareness. Should have mentioned her before. On the day of training with her back in, I think it was 2018, in the height of the crap I was putting up with, she taught us about how our mind is like having apps on a phone, that we could change the apps. I'd never thought about it like that before. It's dead simple. Now, it's not quite like a phone where you can delete the apps completely. Old wiring is never completely gone. But you can choose the line you want to use, like the internet. Fiber optic cables were installed to replace copper wire when its advantages were first realized. The wires are still there. They're just not being used anymore. Habits are exactly the same. Bad habits can't be broken. We can only create new ones. Ed Sheeran's song Bad Habits had a major impact on my life. I heard it for the first time in a week that I was stopping an old habit. I was driving into a friend's house for a reunion with people I hadn't seen in ages. The lyrics helped me focus forwards, to stay committed to my goal. I focused on what I wanted, not what I didn't want. And neuroscience, as it knows currently, shows us that when we focus on alternative positive behaviours, ones that stimulate the reward centres in our brain, pumping dopamine, the process of wiring new habits in becomes quicker and easier. The widely held belief about habits is that we should aim to break them. Even Harvard would have you focusing on breaking bad habits. It's odd, given that brain gurus have known for decades that what we focus on becomes what we do, what we attract and what we believe. There's a part of the brain called the RAS, the reticular activating system. I won't pretend to fully understand the complex brain terms, but reticular means a net-like structure, kind of like material with an interlaced pattern. It's described by the University of Minnesota as the gatekeeper between your conscious and unconscious mind. It's able to control what information filters into your consciousness. This is the part of the brain that makes you see red cars everywhere once you decide to buy a red car. I can't find a definitive yes on this, but I believe it would also be what makes you throw salt over your shoulder when you spill it, and what makes you say to yourself that you're not good enough, you're not doing enough, you're not capable enough. It's our filtering system. Our filters determine how we see the world. It's what runs the script over and over until you prime it to focus differently. When someone mentions Ireland, why Ireland filters fire. When someone mentions China, why Beijing filters fire. When someone mentions mathematics, my five-year-old failure fires. To change the trajectory of the bullet, I have to first become aware that the gun has been cocked. Oh, that might be a bad example. If you've experienced trauma around guns and have fired that filter, I apologise. But I have to find some way to explain it simply. And I can't always know what filters my words might light up in another. I can only be responsible for how I manage my own. Never having the intention to harm another by impacting theirs, of course. When I see a ladder, I walk under it. On purpose. When I spill salt, I clean it up. When I start focusing on things I haven't done or achieved, I tell my brain to shut the fu- Oh, I nearly did it again. Awareness. And a little veto. I tell my brain to focus on what I have achieved, and I say it out loud. No, Christine, you have actually achieved all of these things today. And what about so-and-so, who's done this, that and the other? What about them? You can't see what's behind their social media posts. They might be having exactly the same conversation with themselves as you are. The only conversation that matters is the one you have with you. Alternative thinking. Now, I acknowledge that I'm lucky. When I was healing over the past few years, I had a Christine I'd been happy with before to aspire to becoming again. And not exactly the same, but there were aspects I could get back, that I wanted back. Muscle memories in my body and mind that, with consistency and commitment over time, I could weave the fibres of back together, stronger and more resilient than before. I could see her, but I didn't trust myself to be her. 2014 Christine was fun, hardworking, dedicated, loving, kind, and a bit mental. She did life. She partied, she volunteered, she worked hard, she gave back. 2023 Christine wasn't able to balance all that again yet. My allostatic load was still too high. It took me a while to get allostatic load, because the word allostatic doesn't in any way relate to anything I understood before. But it's basically the wear and tear on the body after years of exposure to repeated or chronic stress, so constant stress in your body. The tiredness when nothing calms is extremely overwhelming. It becomes incredibly difficult to be able to do anything other than get through the day sometimes. I'm an advocate for allowing ourselves the time and space we need to heal. And that's different for everyone. But not everyone is committed to the process of healing either. Old habits die hard, they say. It's easy to slip back into ingrained patterns of thinking. It's easy to blame our brains. It's easy to question ourselves, to become apologetic to the world, to say, I can't do it, to stay in bed. It's easy to throw stones and lay blame, to place upon ourselves the shame of a society that would have us stay silent. But it's selfish, it's unfair, and it's unnecessary. Do you remember the Addams Family Happy Hut scene? If you're around my age, you remember it. It's from the early 90s, where the torture chamber for Wensley and Pugsley was them sitting in a cabin all afternoon having to watch Disney movies. They were trying to force their brains to absorb the smiley, happy Disney joy. When Wednesday came out, she smiled. She played the part they wanted her to play. until she had placed herself in the position to be able to play herself again. And then she taught them all a lesson, that you cannot make another person's brain absorb anything unless they allow you to do so. In 2018, I was doing a lot of work on myself, spiritually, emotionally, and mentally. I went to Donna's coaching day, as I mentioned before. I worked through The Source, a book by Judith McAdam, and went on a workshop with her, and I had a counsellor. One day in 2018, I did a reparenting exercise, a LAM meditation to my root chakra. Now, if you've ever done anything like this, you will know how profound it is. One of my filters has just risen there. If you've ever used AI for anything, you'll know that one of AI's most favourite words is profound. See an article with profound in it these days? It's probably written by AI. So I'm reluctant to use it now for fear that you might think AI had a hand in putting this podcast episode together. It certainly did not. But the word really is apt in this instance. I went so deep that I had my 11-year-old self wrapped in my arms, bawling, crying, shaking, sobbing. I just loved her, consoled her and held her until she was calm and connected. When you do inner child work, and let me throw in a caveat here actually, I'm not a trained counsellor, so this is me sharing my own experience doing the work with my counsellor. David, if you're ever listening to this, I will never forget you. When you do this work, this inner child work, you learn how to become your own parent. You heal what needs to be healed for yourself. She and I, my 11-year-old, that is, went everywhere together for a few years after that, even in the cinema together. People listening to this who've never done it are thinking, what are you talking about? That the idea is that when you're reparenting and you're doing inner child work, right, here's what my counsellor got me to do. He got me to find a picture of myself at the age that we were working on, blow it up, print it out, and hang it in the house and connect in with her every day. So I got a picture of myself when I got my first swimming badge. I think I was 5 or 6 years old, and I had this green swimsuit, like Ireland green. It's not any wonder I surround myself with Ireland green now, apart from the fact that I'm very Irish. But I had a swimsuit that was this beautiful Ireland green colour. I got my first badge, and this picture of me, the big smile on my face, holding up my first swimming badge, delighted with myself. Oh, I wasn't 6 or 7, was I? I must have been a wee bit older. But basically, he got me to print out this picture, blow it up, and have it on my wall and connect in with her all the time. So this is the idea of one of the ways that you can do inner child work. We did other things as well with big sheets of paper and stuff, but this was one of the key practices. And she stayed with me for years. For a good 3 years, I had her up on the wall. I still have the picture somewhere. Until such a time as I felt I didn't need her on the wall anymore because she was back inside me. It's a bit like getting a soul part back in shamanism, which also happened with her at the same age in a very different experience, which I won't go into sharing now. But as I make my notes for the podcast today and I'm sharing these stories, I've just got the biggest smile on my face. That's her. That's the now contented, joyful, playful, loving little minx that dances inside me and bounces up and down when we climb big hills and mountains because it's one of her favourite things to do. Something that people don't talk about, that when I mention to them, they say they haven't come across before, and I'll just drop it in here, is inner teenager work. So if you're someone who's listened to this and you think, I had a great childhood, I was really happy as a child, it was my teenage years that were crap, do the same work or talk to a counsellor about it. I shouldn't be telling you to do the same work. For me, I needed to do, and I'm still doing, inner teen work. I probably will be doing it for quite some time. For me, inner teen work is just as important as inner child work. They do the inner child work because they say that you form and you shape your memories by a certain age when you're a child, and that's what impacts you when you're an adult. But I'll tell you something for nothing. I definitely was impacted as an adult by what happened in my teenage years. And reparenting that inner teenager, which I only just did something massive on it 2 weeks ago, has been equally as important for me. Would you play a song you hated on repeat? Over and over until you taught yourself to like it. I didn't think so. Allowing the beliefs, behaviours and attitudes of others to stay ingrained in us is akin to doing exactly that. teaching ourselves to become comfortably uncomfortable, a state I realized I was living in, which helped me get ready to leave, is akin to doing exactly that. It's a habit to allow ourselves to be driven by others. But we are not sheep. We do not run into pens at the call of a whistle, unless we allow ourselves to be herded by a shepherd. Oh, well, okay, and unless we're flying with Ryanair, but that's a different story. We are capable of focusing on alternatives, but we have to commit to ourselves. We have to commit to the outcome we desire, even if it's a fuzzy one to begin with. We have to be consistent in our efforts, even and most especially when we slip up. You don't stay on the ground when you slip, waiting for someone else to come over and pick you up. You pick yourself up, you brush yourself off, and you keep on walking. In a moment, I'll share a little exercise or full moon ritual that you can do to help start bringing you towards this change. Well, last week, many of you seized the opportunity to access my connected communication resources for free until summer solstice. Bienvenido. Welcome. But me doing that, offering it free until summer solstice, was me being consistent and committed to the promises that I'm making to myself and to my goal of making this training as widely accessible as possible. The doors have now closed, but you can still join for the price of a mug of tea and a scone in an Irish cafe on Grafton Street once a month. If you buy me a cuppa while we had a natter, please consider supporting my work. When you join, over the first 10 days, you get a series of emails that get you going on what's inside. And in one of them, you get a contract to hold yourself accountable. It's obviously not legally binding, but the most legally binding contract, in my view, that we can ever make is the one we make to ourselves. When you commit to yourself, you sign a spiritual agreement with the energetic flows of the universe. What you focus on, you create, but you have to stick with it. And sometimes that means staying the course, staying committed even when everything seems like it's falling apart. It starts with you. The best relationship you'll ever have is the loving one you create with yourself. As we exit the spring equinox and sit under the light of the full warm moon just before it begins to wane, I encourage you to commit to yourself. Now is the most perfect time of year to do so. If you want to start honouring yourself, to rewrite the lyrics of your life, to prime your filters to focus on what you truly desire, follow these steps. Find a spot where you feel safe and peaceful. Make it comfortable. Determine a question to ask. Things like, for example, what do I do differently? What do I want to do differently? What do I want to be doing in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months? Even fewer if you want. If you can't see that far ahead, just go for a week, a day, an hour. What are the three key areas I want to focus on for the next whatever the period of time is? Choose one of those questions. Close your eyes and breathe into your solar plexus. If you find something like that hard, to help regulate your breathing, you can put one hand on your solar plexus, the right hand, and put your left hand over your heart. And this will help to slow your breathing down. Repeat the question aloud 3 times. Keep breathing. Listen and feel without judgment. Accept the answers that come up, even if they feel ridiculous. Journal, draw, record, sing. Whatever you do to keep notes, do it. Determine what steps you need to take to achieve whatever's come up. Take one small step each day to create that change. Reflect and review as you go along. Repeat the exercise daily if needs be. Reward your achievements. Accept and restart if you stop. If you need one, get an accountability partner who's supportive or join the platform. Continue taking one small step each day until you have taken all steps. Check back in with yourself. Where have you got to? How are you feeling about what you've achieved? The mind is a very powerful thing, Christine. You know that, don't you? Yes, Granny. I believe I've heard you say it once or a million times. That's a pattern of thinking I'm happy to absorb. I didn't get picked to have my content audited by Caldini this week. I mentioned this in the podcast last week. I think my filters made me think that it was going to be something different. But not to worry. I still had takeaways from the webinar. Commitment and consistency are about behaving consistently with what we have previously said or done. That's what helps build trust. What persuades others to trust in us. But it works from a personal level too, for ourselves. Commitment to ourselves, to our process, to our journey, to our development, coupled with consistency over time, topped off with reward and recognition of our achievements, helps us rebuild trust within ourselves. And if we can't commit to ourselves, if we can't trust ourselves, how can we expect anybody else to commit to us? How can we expect others to trust us? You are a very powerful thing. You get to choose what you do with your brain. And when you choose to commit to yourself, to reconnect with yourself and recalibrate, you get yourself ready to share your gift with the world. And you are the only one who is able to do it. As always, whether you're a listener new or old, if anything's resonated with this, please let me know. I love to hear from you. And until next time, Gajian Kedarala. Enjoy the light of the full moon. Banakti, August Boikas.